not days. We are living in the last hours before Jesus returns. And we as His people have to agree with Him that we are light. Because He dwells in us. There's no darkness in God. And because there is no darkness, anytime the world puts pressure on us, we need to shine even brighter. That doesn't mean that we take up arms and we radicalize like some believers do. I remember when Y2K went through. How many of us remember Y2K? People were taking up arms to protect themselves from the chaos that was supposed to erupt when our computers all shut down. And I would just say, God's in control. It doesn't matter if the computer shut down. What matters is, are we going to continue on doing the things that God has instructed us to do or not? A computer is a tool. That's all it is. But today, electronics rules the lives of people. As I said Wednesday night, the new religion in the world is science. That's the new religion. But let me tell you, science only confirms what God has already done. And so we place our faith in God. There is a spiritual storm that is running rampant in our nation and throughout the world. And we have to remind ourselves that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Okay? It's very simple, very basic. But our allegiance is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our allegiance isn't to the United States or to whatever place we find ourselves in. That does not mean we upset those things. It just means their standard is not our standard. Our standard is higher. And how we live our lives has to be done with that. I want to encourage you by some words that God says about us. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." Sometimes we forget that we're light. We have all these pressures going on in our lives, and we get caught up with the world. The world says you have rights, you have this, you have that, and all. But the bottom line is, God the Father dispenses all those things. We adhere to His standards. We adhere to what He says. And He says we are light. If we declare that we're His children. Because there are people who say that we're His kids, but their lifestyle is non-conducive to the realities that have to be seen. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "You are all sons and daughters of the light, sons and daughters of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." What we were before is no longer the reality of who we are today. We are light. And our job as believers, is to care for each other. That's one of them. But what is our main job? What does light do? Michael, what does light do? Right. Drives darkness away. And this is what Jesus is trying to get us to understand, that no matter how much pressure, no matter how dark this goes, this world becomes, we don't stop being who we are. Because who we are is not defined by the world. God has defined us. It warms my heart. greater blessing will come upon you guys. Why? Because you did what God told you to do, and because of it, He'll bless you richly. You're a child of the light. You demonstrate John 13:35. They will know you by the love you have one for another. And that's what Streams is all about. Streams isn't about building a ministry based on shallow Christianity. It's about building disciples to be effective in the world wherever we may be found. And understand, as I was watching TV and the news came across, that the world is praising this abomination. And this country that we live in has taken a giant leap away from the foundations that God had laid for this nation. And I said to Irene, I said, this is only the beginning of the storm. They're not interested in equality. How can I say that? Look what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. These people in those days forgot God. We have forgotten God as a nation. They thought up of new ways to have the latest, greatest thing that included perversion of any kind. But even in that perversion, God did not destroy them until they radicalized and wanted to take over that area with their perversion. And we know the story. Lot was there and his daughters, and they were so perverse that they refused Lot's offering of giving his daughters to these men in order to protect the angels, like the angels needed protection. We as the people of God need to refocus who we are and why we're here. The purpose that God has for each and every one of us is, yes, it's for us to care for each other and develop this relationship so that the world can see Jesus Christ through our lives. But our job, it doesn't stop there. Our job is to depopulate hell and repopulate heaven. That's our job. And when we understand that the pressures of the world wants to put this basket over us so that the truth of the gospel does not shine from us, we should be very upset about that. And I've told you the stories of, you know, how I've witnessed to people and had under threats and duress and all this other stuff that was going on. Because to me, to leave the body is to be with God, and that would be a greater position. But you have need of me. So God says, you're not leaving yet, son. I say to you, let your light shine. In small ways, let your light shine. Because what that does is build confidence that Jesus is operating from you. You hear His voice. You just do what He tells you to do. And you leave everything to God. God is in control. When we finish our work, it's time to go home. So we're not done our work. And in some cases, we haven't even begun to work. I know some people get upset when I talk about politics and stuff, but the fact of the matter remains is that the church is the moral compass and consciousness of any nation. And when the church is silenced, that nation goes into perversion. Look at history. See if it doesn't bear out what I just said. The Word of God says that for those who desire to live holy and righteous lives, they will be persecuted. Comes with the territory. Jesus said, you know, in this world you're going to have tribulation. When you do the right thing, somebody doesn't like that. Somebody's always going to run pressure on you. But you see, Jesus entrusted himself to the Father. He believed that the Father was in control, and he entrusted himself and did what the Father had shown him to do. No more, no less. We're children. We're learning this. But you see, you are the example that the world is looking for of Jesus Christ. Jesus revealed the Father to his disciples, and now we get the opportunity to reveal to the world as his disciples, Jesus Christ. And I say out of small, short, random acts of kindness that really goes against our flesh, goes against our soul, goes against everything. Jen, you can't understand why, but you will. You will. And you'll do likewise. Because it's already churning in your heart. We are to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter what pressure comes against us. The greater the pressure, the greater the light. It's really, that's how it's supposed to be. And some of us haven't matured to that place to take on that pressure. And so we have a little kink in our armor, and old self leaks out. It's okay. Repent. Get it under the blood. Learn from it and move on. This pressure that we will shortly be a part of is to extinguish the light of Jesus Christ in streams and all the churches around. That is the plan of the Antichrist. Take the light out, put it under a basket, and extinguish it so that it can run in abject, unchecked perversion. It's not God's desire. We need to understand that the world is going to persecute us. We have to examine whether that persecution is because we're doing what God has said and we're living for Jesus Christ, or that persecution is because of our foolishness and disobedience. In either case, repent and get it under the blood so the light can shine. Let it shine. Let it go. The pressure is going to come to intimidate us, to cause us to be fearful, to silence us. And you have to understand that the church is the only thing that Jesus left. It is the responsibility of the church to speak into darkness. Not just the pastor. All of us. I only make up a small microcosm of the local body here. And I'm doing my best not to let that light be extinguished. Stay at his feet, listen to him, get refreshed, be encouraged, move forward. We have to speak out against behaviors. Irene and I, because of all the pressure that had happened in these last 2 weeks, we took a day. And she went to work, she came home, and we went out. We just got away. Tired of trying to figure out how to get this done for someone else, or go over there and serve in this capacity. We just went out. And we went to a store. And there's these two young girls. I guess they're like 13, 14. And they're saying how much they hate each other. In the same expression, you're my best friend, but you're hating each other. And the Spirit of God just rose up in me. And I said to the one girl who was saying, I hate you. I said, that's terrible. What do you mean? I said, that's an awful thing to say about your best friend. She knows that I really don't mean it. I said, out of your mouth, you're saying evil about a friend, and it's supposed to be okay. I looked at the young friend. I said, did that hurt you? She says, yeah, but. I said, there's no buts. It hurt. And, of course, they want their own way. They, you know, didn't have enough time because they were moving out to other stores. I wasn't being a busybody, but I wanted God to use me in a certain way that, you know, bring a subtle correction. And the mom was there behind them saying, thank you. Like I had, you know, she should have been correcting them. But we have that authority. Jesus gave us that authority out of love to speak to them. In our silence, when we are silent, what the world takes from that is they are saying that we are condoning this evil behavior. It's okay. It's not okay. Jesus said, by your own words you will be judged. We have to help people understand that there's life and death in the tongue. And we have to learn from each other. We don't have it all together, but we have to learn from each other how to do this and really let the light of Jesus Christ shine. We shouldn't be accepting the garbage that the world is trying to feed us. We should be like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And just throw that away and say, we'll feast at the king's table. You know, have the fruits, have the vegetables, not the rich stuff, but stuff that is good for us, nourish us, takes care of us. When we're silent, we don't defend the truth. The truth is the light that's in us. And when we're silent, we're actually helping the world put the basket on the light, whether we understand that or not. And the more we do this, the less effective we become, the dimmer the light is. We compromise our lives because we're not standing up for truth. We're not living truth. We're living a lie. We're allowing the darkness to overtake us and recapture us into bondage. Let your light shine. Break those bonds. Break out of the normal stuff that the world says. Break out. When we don't defend truth and we don't live truth, our life is nothing but hypocrisy. We're hypocrites. We live one way in front of people, but behind closed doors, we're another person. I learned this lesson a long time ago. What you see is what you get. And if you see something that's bad, then tell me how to change it. I'll repent. I'll get before God. And add it add that good thing to my life. And many have come and said, Pastor, you know, we see this going on, and it's like, I take it as a good thing. When somebody speaks and sees something that's not godly or Christ-like, I don't want it in me. I want more of Christ to shine from me. But we're so fickled that when someone says something, we get touchy about it. We get, who do they think they are? Your brother and sister want the best for you. Well, I don't have to do what they're saying. No, you don't. But I've learned also, it's a lot easier when a brother and sister comes to you in meekness and humbleness to help you than to let the Lord Almighty put you in time out. I've had a couple of them in my life. If we do not stand for truth, we will fall for the garbage that the world is throwing at us. We will live in deception and in bondage. And Jesus set us free. He set us free so that His light can emanate from us. This isn't meant to be a downer. It's meant to be an encouragement to you that where you are, let it burn brighter. Paul says, that sin that so easily besets you, cast it off and run the race. Cast it off. It's hindering the work that God wants to do in your life from the inside out. Let your light shine. As it gets darker and darker, we need to shine brighter and brighter. We need to come together more and more. It says, as you see the darkness coming, assemble yourselves. Was that a suggestion? No. It's a directive for us. When we have opportunity to come together, the power becomes greater because there's more wattage. If I take a 25-watt light bulb and I take a second 25-watt light bulb and put them together, it illuminates even more. And that's what we want to do. We want to illuminate more and more. As people see us assembling ourselves together more and more. I mean, the sign that we're His people is we like to hang out with each other. We genuinely like each other. Which, you know what? In large congregations, you have your little groups that like to hang out with each other. We have our little group. It's called Streams of Life. We like to hang with each other. And on certain Sundays and certain times when we get together, it's like, we got to close the doors, guys. We got to go. We got stuff to do. But God says two things for us that we really have to pay attention. Daniel 12:3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. He's talking about us plucking them out of darkness. We have to use wisdom in order to get them into the light. And when they come, we got to use wisdom again to keep them so they don't fall back. And it takes a lot of wisdom in how to do that. Philippians 2:14-16 says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like the stars in the universe, and as you hold out the word of life. Jesus created streams of life to be a light to this community. He took us from a house church and he set us on a hill. I don't know if you looked at there, but we got a little rise. We do. It's a hill. I don't know what your definition of a hill is, but anytime I elevate to a higher position, that's a hill. Anything over that elevation is a mountain. But he did. He set us here. And it was all God's work that did it. And I could tell you all the stuff again and again and again, but the bottom line was that we had this agnostic lawyer say to us, "Pastor, we're sitting at this table and you did everything wrong." And I looked at him and I said, "Bob, but God. We just did what God said to do. And he made it happen." Our job is to reach this community. But they have to see the light of the gospel. God has created streams to be a beacon that shines out into darkness. It drives darkness away. And we have to uncompromisingly and unashamedly get rid of all the junk of our lives. Why? Because we want to radiate more of God. And because we do this, we shine like the stars. How many of us have gone out at nighttime and we've seen the stars all up there? Can you see planets? Well, you can see them in our solar system, you can. But there are things that happen that these stars are shining individually out for anybody and everybody to look at and appreciate. And guess what? So are we. And that light draws attention. The more we draw attention to Jesus Christ, the more effective we become. That's why it's so important that we resist the pressure by shining more, doing the things that Jesus did. And Jesus was under tremendous pressure. He was. He was under tremendous pressure from the social elites. He was under tremendous pressure from the legal system. And he was under tremendous pressure from the religious groups. Did he change? Did he compromise? Thank God he didn't. Thank God. And neither will we. Because in those times that we feel like giving up, we need to call somebody to get built up, to be encouraged. When we feel that all has broken loose on us and we have nothing, what you do have, give it away. Give it to somebody and bless them. Why? Because God sees in secret and rewards openly. And how he rewards us isn't the way that we expect it. I remember in the early days when we were doing the evangelism and going out in the community, we'd go to one spot and people would come from another spot. And we're going to do that again. We have to. People have to know about Jesus Christ. In a practical way, not in a religious way, serving them so that they can see how Jesus did things and wants to do things in their lives. You see, beacons are positioned in places that are elevated and the best places. Why? Well, how many of us have been to lighthouses? Some are on cliffs, right? And their job is to keep ships from becoming shipwrecked, right? Let them know that there's land here, and I could tell you stories and jokes about, you know, the ship's passing by, and here's this light up there, and the captain is flashing this thing saying, "You've got to move." And guys flash back a light and said, we can't move, you're going to have to move. And this goes on for three or four times, and eventually the captain says, you have to move or we're going to ram you. And the guy flashes back and says, you're going to move or you're going to become shipwrecked. We're a lighthouse. We need to tell them that Jesus saves. But we need to also tell them why he saves. We need to demonstrate to them who God is through Jesus Christ. And if they refuse it, we need to tell them what the ramifications of that refusal will be. That's preaching the whole gospel. That's living the whole gospel. That's allowing the light of the gospel to shine out. When we don't stand up for truth, we can't tell them the truth. We can't compel them to come into the light. When we're silent and we only think about me, myself, and Irene, how sad is it when we sit there at supper with Jesus and all the people that he brought our way, that we could have said something to him. We could have demonstrated something to him. We could have spoke truth to them. Just seed. If they don't want it, you're just planting seed. That's all. And some of this seed will find fertile soil. I grew up on lifestyle evangelism, where they taught us that we go out and you share the gospel and you harvest right away. Because when the iron's hot, that's when you strike. What I have learned is you don't get a good return with that. What you do is you become more confrontational to people. You're not as sensitive to their needs. And it's all about numbers. God's about numbers, but he's more about relationship. And Jesus has laid down a challenge to us all. Are we just going to talk about being a Christian, or are we going to demonstrate it? Are we going to be the people that demonstrate it, or are we going to just be people to tell others how to do it? You know, it's not about how to do it, it's about living. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. As I've said before, you know, when we start becoming religious, I'm out of here. It's all about relationship. When we refuse to be silenced, expect pushback. Expect it, because you know what? For me, it's not acceptable any longer for us to be silent. What's the old saying? For evil men to prosper is but a few good men not to say anything. Something like that. We have a responsibility. God has made us the church, become part of the church, to speak to this society, to live in righteousness and holiness as he has lived. I don't care what the pressure is. We have to stay the course. I don't care what the world throws at us and says it's okay or not okay. All that matters is what God says. I don't care if they throw me into prison. Kill me. I don't care. I don't care if they take away our nonprofit status and want to tax us to the hill. The church isn't this building. The church is all of you guys. And that's why I can rejoice like the persecuted church in China and India and across the Southeast Asia. All those efforts do is cause people to watch what we do when they destroy stuff, when they kill people. But they can't kill Jesus Christ. They did that once. And He dwells richly in you. So let Him shine out of you. Make a difference. Purpose your life to be used for His glory. Declare His name unashamedly, because the days are going to get darker and there's going to be more pressure on us, and we have to decide today that we're going to do it no matter what. I don't see any fair-weathered Christians here. I see people who truly love God, love Him with all their heart as best as they can. And I want to exhort you today. Let it shine. Let this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember this song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Come on, sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Father, we just thank You. I thank You for the attentiveness of Your people. And I turn this over to Michael to end us in prayer today, Father, so that Your people will receive and be prepared for what is coming. In Jesus' name. Michael?